but we pursue the few moments of enjoyment that they can give. And yet these things can draw us so far from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it's like, don't you? When you get up in the morning and you have your daily routine, and those things just pull us away from perhaps that time of being alone with the Lord. Or perhaps in the evening, that's when you have your time with Him, and it's been a busy day. The family has given you stress. The office has just been unbearable. You have a deadline to meet. You have a presentation tomorrow. It's a bit what I was like last night, thinking about coming in and preaching tonight. I just want my bed. And the sleep in a comfortable bed just draws us in, and we forget to be with our Lord. And here Peter, as he's trying to look incognito in the courtyard, he can't resist the fire. He can't resist sidling up to its warmth. It's risky, isn't it? Because gathered around this fire are the soldiers who have just arrested Jesus. And I think it's one of these great things that we find in those who are in law enforcement, that they have a pretty good memory for faces. They never forget a face, and it's the same here. These keen eyes train upon Peter, who's this man breaking in to steal some of the heat away from the fire, and perhaps burned into their memories as the picture of Peter's face with sword drawn in the garden. And they challenge him. You belong to Jesus. And Peter, once again, has that decision to make, doesn't he? Admit the truth and face abuse and harm, or deny it and be safe with the comfort of the fire. And Peter, for the second time in a short while, denies his Lord and Savior. The price that Peter pays here for some warmth is not a few coins or a few bits of wood, but he pays the price of denying the man he has spent all those years with. And you know, it's easy for us to say, you know what? How terrible, Peter. How ridiculous. I would never do that. But you know what? So often, we do. And we give thanks this evening for the eternal desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would come and save us. You know, the glory and the majesty of heaven with the angels worshiping around Him did not distract Him and divert Him from coming as a man into this world, the Word being made flesh. The temptation of the wilderness could not force Him to be diverted from His ministry and His mission. And even as He looks forward in those moments of the first Holy Week, the agony of the cross was not going to pull Him and dissuade Him from paying the price that we have sung about. Jesus paid it all. And the Word who gives eternal life to all those who believe had but one desire, and that was to come and to seek and to save that which was lost, and that was you and that was me. And I wonder, do you know that salvation this evening? Let's turn to the final two verses of our passage. And we see that these demonstrate how denial can take place, not just by distance, not just through desire, but also in despair. And there are times that we are so overwhelmed with an occasion, an emotion, even a relationship, that we just deny things out of despair. We want shot of what's causing us the pain. We want to remove ourselves from the thing that is inflicting an agony upon us. And it's more convenient to just simply deny what is going on. And as Peter denies Jesus for a third time, this is precisely where he finds himself, despairing of his immediate circumstances. Verse 26 says, one of the servants of the high priest, and here's the twist, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and at once our rooster crowed. To Peter, in this slightly dim and dark courtyard, it must have seemed that whatever way he turned, there was somebody just simply there to accuse him. Whoever he engaged with seemed to know precisely who he was. And this courtyard is so far from being a safe haven. And I think that we see something of a glimmer of hope in Peter in that truth. Because as Peter begins to realize this is quite dangerous, he stays. If I'd been Peter, I fear that I would have put as many miles as I could have between myself and that courtyard upon the first question. But Peter is still there. And brothers and sisters, let me encourage you with this. So often there is great value in simply turning up for the Lord Jesus Christ time and again, regardless of how difficult it is, regardless of how awkward it might be, regardless of the pull of the other things, but turning up, whether it's to worship corporately, whether it's to serve, whether it's to evangelize, whether it's just simply to live out the consistent Christian life, by turning up for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are making a declaration that we are His. And that He is ours. But don't forget, this is a pressure cooker for Peter. The bustle of the courtyard just simply made bumping into people unavoidable. And I think it's sad that Peter once again does deny the Lord Jesus Christ as he's challenged. Because Peter had seen something in Jesus that this was no ordinary man. Peter had even gone so far in that great confession of his to declare that Jesus is the Christ. That's Peter saying, I know that you're God. I know that you're the chosen one. I know that you're the deliverer. And as Peter here rejects Jesus in the despair of these overwhelming circumstances, he's even lost sight of the truth that Jesus had not and would not and never will deny him or turn from him or reject him. And so we need to be so careful that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how desperate they would be, we should never avert being loyal. We should never allow our love to grow cold for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting just in these couple of verses that the identity of Peter is put to him by the relative of Malchus. Malchus, as we heard yesterday evening, was a servant of the high priest. He'd been part of that group arresting Jesus. And Peter had picked on him. I don't know if Malchus had been brandishing a sword, but Peter certainly got the first strike in, didn't he? Cutting off the ear. And here is Malchus's relative, ready for some justice, ready to get his own back, ready for retribution. And he says, Peter, I know who you are. And this image of Peter was pretty much burned into the heart of this relative, and he wants to get Peter back. And the danger looms for Peter once again, and he's forced to answer this question. And again, it is a question, yes or no is the answer. And Peter answers no. Do you know something? Wouldn't it be wonderful for every one of us if the people of the world around us would simply come up to us and say, I recognize you as belonging to Jesus. Not because we've brandished a sword, not because we have injured any party, not because we're harsh, not because we're legalistic, but that we would be recognized as belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ for showing His grace, His love, His compassion, His truth in this world, to an extent that nobody could deny that we belong to Him. In fact, they would put it, whether it's an accusation or whether it's a compliment, doesn't particularly matter, but we would be seen by folks in our streets, our schools, our offices, our universities, our factories, our communities, as belonging to Jesus. And yes, of course, that would put us to the test, wouldn't it? How would we answer? Are you not one of His? And our passage this evening reaches its climax. Peter needs to give himself some security, and so he denies Jesus this third time. And then what happens? But the cock crows. And I don't know if Peter knew what he was doing as he denied Jesus the first time or the second time. But the minute he hears the rooster, he knows what he's done. And just as the Lord had foretold in John 13:38, Peter had denied Jesus three times. And Peter recollects those words that Jesus had spoken, saying, "You will do this." And he is devastated to realize the enormity of what he has done. He's broken by his failure. The carpet has been pulled out from under his feet. And all of a sudden, he realizes that the danger to his life with all of these enemies of Jesus round about him pale into insignificance with the truth that he has denied his Lord and Savior. I don't think it's hard to imagine what flooded through Peter's mind and heart here. Surely he was thinking, this is it. There's no way back. It's final. I've burned every bridge that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. But no. Peter's grip on the Lord Jesus Christ had maybe slackened somewhat, but the grip that the Lord Jesus Christ had on the life of Peter had not budged one millimeter. And Peter's story here this evening might trick us into thinking that failure is final. That this time I've denied the Lord Jesus Christ just that once too often, that he must surely give up on me. And we carry those failures around, and they're a bit like having a stone in our shoe as we walk. It's always there rubbing against us. And yet, let me tell you, jumping forward just three chapters to chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Peter on the shore of Lake Galilee. With such beauty and such tenderness, three times he says to Peter, "Do you love me?" And we see the correlation there, three denials and three opportunities to declare his love. And on top of that, there is a threefold commission that's given to Peter to look after the lambs, to look after the sheep, to look after the flock, to look after Christ's people after the ascension. And we see that despite this abject failure from Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ is not done with him. Yes, Peter may have made many mistakes, but he was still that disciple that walked in water. He was still the apostle that led Cornelius, the Roman centurion, to faith. He was still the first man to declare that Jesus is the Christ. And so the same thing as we just close. When we deny Christ, whether it's by keeping our distance from him or whether it's through desiring something other than him or even out of despair of the circumstances of our life, remember this, it's not final. His grace, his mercy, his love, his keeping of you all amount to one thing, and that is forgiveness. A washing away of the guilt. Our mistakes will never cause the Lord Jesus Christ to reject us because we belong to him. But tonight, if you don't know Christ, if you don't have that assurance, let me challenge you one final time. It's just possible you could exit this building after having enjoyed a lovely cup of coffee. You could head home with the biggest regret possible. It might be that you leave here without having trusted Christ, denying him in effect. And the real tragedy here is you're not going to just regret it for a year. You're not just going to regret it for 10 years. You're not even just going to regret it for however many decades you're given of life, but you will regret it for all of eternity. And as the moments of eternity tick by inexhaustibly, your mind will be drawn back to this very gathering, to this very opportunity. And so this evening, let us remember the words that we opened Holy Week with last night. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Do you know those blessings in your life this evening? As John McKinnon now takes over the rest of these Holy Week services, it's certainly been my privilege to be here Monday and Tuesday, but the trajectory is going to remain the same. Because the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his betrayal, through this denial, goes all the way to the cross. But let us remember, this is Easter. This is the word of life. This is the Lord Jesus Christ calling to each and every one of us. And John would record in chapter 6, verse 47, the words of Jesus who said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." And so this evening in your courtyard of uncertainty, don't lose your loyalty to Christ. Don't deny Christ. But follow him this evening and forevermore. Let's pray. Our Father, how we thank you for these words of Scripture that we have spent these moments poring over. We thank you for their truth. We thank you for their sobering message of how it is so easy to deny our Lord and Savior. But perhaps, Father, we do so well to remember that what shines through this denial of Peter is the grace and the forgiveness that comes from the one who would go to the cross. We thank you that with Christ, he is faithful and he is just and he is true. And he forgives each and every one of his people. And so we pray this evening, Father, that you would bolster our hearts and encourage our lives to stay as close as we possibly can manage to the Savior, knowing that he is clinging on to us, not by his fingernails, but in his full embrace. And we do pray that the light of the gospel truth, the message of Easter, would burn through to those who are yet to come to Christ for salvation. And we pray for the ongoing meetings this week here in Mulgai, that you would bless and use them for one thing, the glory of your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray in his name this evening, that name of the one who saves his people from his sins, the name of Jesus. Amen.